Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Bring the energy!
It's happening.
Get it. For your lives.
It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is...
Let's go!
MP on the mic.
Richmond, Virginia, it's a Thursday morning. What is up? Michael Phillips, MP on the road today, remote show. Thank you to Hazel for holding things down in the studio. We got 2 hours of great sports talk for you, live and local. Take you up to noon. AWOD Radio, of course, takes over noon to 3. AWOD declared a winner in the burger bracket yesterday. We've got a best burger in Richmond. We'll talk with him about that at 11:45. We'll bring on Lane Casadante at 11. Always love to have the CBS 6 sports director on. Can throw a lot of things at him, see what he wants to talk about today. Lots going on in the world of sports. We are exactly 2 weeks out from the NFL draft. And I've tried not to overdraft our show. That I guess that's a pun. There's no chance. Hayes, I'm going to bring you up here for the first time. Do you know what it is to overdraft a checking account?
Yes.
How about that? Have you ever written a check?
I have written a check.
Wow. All right. The kids are all right, it turns out. There you go. So I've tried not to over-program our draft coverage because we're going to be intense on it. It's going to be happening over the next few weeks, obviously, and it's going to be all we talk about in 2 weeks in the lead up to Thursday, and then obviously super excited for the Friday morning show when the Commanders finally have a quarterback, when they pick at 36 and 40, so they'll have two of the first picks that Friday night. That's going to be a fun night. Or maybe we're talking about two first-round picks. A lot of options out there, a lot of speculation out there. So in 15 minutes, we'll take a trip down draft lane. We'll see what's going on with everybody. Got some important things happening early next week, kind of the final big markers here before the league packs up, heads to Detroit for the draft next Thursday night. Of course, you'll hear that right here on 910 The Fan. We're also at 105.1 FM and Crystal Clear FM. We're worldwide all the time on the free Odyssey app. That's the one with the rewind button. We'll also take on the rest of the NFL, and our guy Russell Wilson was named by Essence Magazine as the sexiest man of the moment. Congrats to Russell Wilson. We'll dive into all things going on nationally in the NFL. Busy time. 10:45, I'll share my Spirit Airlines story from last night. It's all right. They come out looking all right in it. I don't mind Spirit Airlines so much. Still cheap, still gets you where you're going here. It's the MP Roadshow. But lots going on in college basketball, and I saw something yesterday, and right, it's Twitter. Take it with a grain of salt. But man, I got excited when I saw it. There's a ton of transfer portal buzz this time of year. Of course, that's going to happen naturally. Lots of speculation. Guys moving here, guys moving there. Guys dipping their toe in the NBA pre-draft process, coming out, moving, all those things. So there's a lot of moving parts. If VCU gets a guard, I'll be happy for him. If Ryan Odom gets, a 3 or a 4, I'll be happy for him. He's reloading the roster. I think he knows what he's doing in the recruiting game in the portal. I think he's got a really talented staff around him. But you know what gets me really excited is big guys. Joshua Jefferson, he's a 6'8 forward for St. Mary's this year. Now, he probably doesn't play the 5. He's probably more of a 4. Doesn't matter. I'm excited about a big guy. Joshua Jefferson, 6'8 forward for St. Mary's. Now, it's the A10 Vault account on Twitter. Says he's going to be visiting this weekend, and he is looking seriously at VCU. I don't know how seriously to take these things, right? The professor here putting on his hat. I can't validate this. I can't verify this. We'll see what's going on. The thought of a big guy coming around, though, you bring a little size to this roster. Now you're getting me excited. Now you get me excited for VCU basketball next year. I do think Ryan Odom's going to crush the portal. I'm a big fan of pretty much everything he's done from a personnel standpoint since he got here. And he had his hands tied, right? He was only able to do but so much as he started on short notice, got a team. You would have loved to have had a true center. How many times do we say that? Said that after the Bonnies game twice. Said that after UMass. We said that a lot this year. I think he'll be able to pull that off given a year on the portal. Some of the coaching decisions, I mean, that these guys really struggled to close games down the stretch. But that's neither here nor there. What's now is it's portal season. I think Ryan Odom's going to be very good at playing portal season. Speaking of guys who are good at portal season, John Calipari introduced at Arkansas yesterday. He's leaving Kentucky. He's the new Arkansas coach. I say that not to provide you with the facts, but because honestly, I still kind of don't believe it. I have to tell myself this every few minutes. John Calipari, the coach at Arkansas. It still doesn't make 100% sense to me, but he got out before they got him at Kentucky. He is now the head coach at Arkansas. Here is his introductory presser, which I think opened with an absolutely fantastic line.
You know what? I'm jacked about another opportunity. Like, I'm like, let's go. Now, I met with the team. There is no team. So now I got to – Hunter's really extremely confident, but we got to get a roster together. And some of it is a little bit of everything, but we will. It may take a little longer because there are kids that put their name in the NBA draft.
I met with the team. There is no team. If that doesn't encapsulate the world of college sports right now in 2024, I don't know what does. John Calipari. Right, like, Deion got introduced to Colorado last year. Remember, he does the whole speech where he tells everybody in the room, like, go pack your bags. I'm bringing my bags. They're Louis Vuitton bags. Like, you know, get out of here. Like, I'm going to go in the portal. This wasn't that. This was just an acknowledgement, right? That Arkansas had guys last year. Their coach left. He's probably taking them with him. They got other guys doing NBA draft stuff. They got other guys in the portal. I met with the team. There is no team. All right. He's got his work cut out for him. Ryan Odom knows how it feels. You show up in April. You do a press conference. Everybody's excited. All right. When do we win, coach? As soon as I got players. I'm going to need players to win. If there's anybody in America who can get those players, it is, of course, John Calipari here in his second act at Kentucky, or at Arkansas, leaving Kentucky. The Kentucky speculation centering around Scott Drew. I love Scott Drew for the Kentucky job. I think he's, you talk about that job, and that is a unique one. I'm not just going to say college basketball. I'm going to say the world of college sports. Because there are jobs where you follow a legend, right? There are jobs where, like, whoever's the women's basketball coach after Geno at Connecticut, you're following the guy, right? Somebody had to follow John Wooden at UCLA. You follow the guy, and that's a hard thing. Kentucky, you're not following Calipari, so to speak. You're kind of just inheriting this mantle of a fan base that demands excellence year in and year out and goes pitchforks and torches when they don't receive a Final Four bid or something of that nature. I think Scott Drew is wired really well for that. He weathered a lot of scandal at Baylor. Obviously, he wasn't squeaky clean in all of that as well. But I think he's certainly got the right temperament, the right demeanor to handle a pretty wild fan base up there in Lexington, right? And I think he, you know, you say, does he have the coaching chops? Well, of course he's got the coaching chops. You know, his success at Baylor speaks for itself in terms of what he's been able to build there and what he's been able to do there. Other college basketball portal news, Tyler Nickel from Virginia Tech leaving 8.8 points per game this season. He's off to Vandy. Vandy's spending. They got JMU's coach. They're grabbing guys out of the portal. It just shows how big the discrepancy is, right? Because the rumors are he got, you know, low six figures, you know, whether that's 300,000 or what, I don't know, because we're just speculating here, but he got a chunk of change to leave Tech and go play basketball at Vanderbilt for a year. You know, 300 grand is probably more than VCU spent in NIL last 2 years combined. Really, really sheds light on just at that level, at the SEC level, the kind of game they're playing, and just how far ahead of everybody else they are about the resources Calipari's going to have access to out there. But I'm excited if VCU can bring in a little size this year. We'll keep our eye on the portal, of course, as it goes. This is day three of the Flying Squirrels first homestand of the year. Hazel, I can think of nothing more appropriate to do than to do our Flying Squirrels recap right now. There we go. Flying Squirrels fall 6-3 to Akron. They still don't have a home win yet this year. They'll get their third try tonight. Squirrels up 3-0 entering the eighth, but it was a five-run inning for the Akron Rubber Ducks, who are now 2-0 in this homestand in Richmond. Continues through the weekend. Get out there if you can get out there. Weather's been fantastic. A sellout crowd Tuesday night was great. I know they'll have great crowds into the weekend as well as people get the itch to get back out and watch live baseball. John Michael Bertrand was the starter for the Richmond Flying Squirrels. Five scoreless innings, five strikeouts. You love to see that line. Carson Ragsdale will toe the mound tonight. Akron will pitch Doug Kikaze. First pitch, 6:35 out there. It's VCU night at the Diamond. In your face fireworks after the game. That's as close as the fireworks are legally allowed to get, folks. The fire department will not allow the fireworks to get any closer than they are in your face fireworks night. Ballpark gates open at 5:30. You'll, of course, hear all the action with Trey and Blaine right here on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Let's play the Vinny Pasquantino clip, too, because I don't think it makes sense anywhere else in the show. We're talking about baseball now. Probably not talking a lot of baseball today. Got a little too much on the plate. If we veer off the road, it's probably not going to be into baseball territory. But we give props to the locals when they do good things. We did that during football season, played touchdowns by our local players. We will do that at the major league level as well. The pride of James River High School. Here's Vinny Pasquantino for the Kansas City Royals last night.
Here comes the 10th pitch of this plate appearance. Changeup hit high in the air, deep right field. Tucker's back, onto the track, at the fence, and it's gone! Vinny Pasquantino's got his first home run of the year!
Five RBI for the James River grad as part of a big night for the Royals, who claim the win. Vinny Pasquantino going yard first time this season for Kansas City. Of course, the big news in Major League Baseball, the Orioles calling up Jackson Holliday. I can't wait to watch this kid play at the Major League level. We read off the numbers from Norfolk last week, which is just silly. He's just doing video game numbers at AAA, where they're not slobs, by the way, in AAA, and he's just raking on all of them. Excited to see the boost he gives to the Orioles, maybe get up there to Camden Park later this year for a game, because that's a fun atmosphere, and that's going to be one of those guys, right? You love those guys where every time they come to the plate, something special could happen. Speaking of guys where something special could happen, the Commanders might pick one of those in 2 weeks in the NFL draft. I said we'd dive deep on the draft. Put on your swimsuit. We're going into the deep end. It's NFL draft time. We're 2 weeks away. We'll take it on the other side of this break. Off and run a Thursday edition of MP on the Mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. What can I say? They keep inviting me back. We keep doing the show. I love it. MP on the Mic, our first NFL draft lead-up coverage, right? We started the show last year right after the Commanders' Week 1 game. Man, we were flying high with optimism back then, and we're flying high with optimism now. Some things never change. There were some times in between that were not filled with optimism. I will certainly acknowledge that much. But you know where to be for NFL draft coverage this year. You know where to be on draft night in two Thursdays, right here, of course, on 910 The Fan. We're live at 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. It's the new sports radio, 910 The Fan. Let's get straight into it. Talk NFL draft.
The countdown to NFL Draft Day is on.
The Washington Commanders select.
Time to restock, reload, and give it another go.
The Washington Commanders!
Hail to the Commanders!
The NFL Draft.
Take command, baby! Come on!
There we go. All right, I love it. NFL Draft coming up in two Thursdays. The first round, of course, second and third rounds on Friday night as well. So lots going on in draft world out there. The main thing, right, is we need to figure out, do they know who they're taking at number two? And we have some big milestones coming up next week here. Jaden Daniels is going to visit Ashburn. They call this the top 30. Every team is allowed to host 30 players for a pre-draft visit to the facility. So they fly in, they do the visit. What you need to know about Caleb Williams, he's the projected number one pick, is that he is making one visit. He was invited to Ashburn. He was invited, presumably, to Foxborough. He said, I'm taking one visit. It's to Chicago. It's with the Bears. The Bears invited one quarterback in for a top 30 visit of the premier guys. It was Caleb Williams. So if you're still scratching your head and saying, I wonder who the Chicago Bears are going to take with the number one overall pick, I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that it's Caleb Williams, the USC quarterback. Now, at number two, things get fun because the Commanders have been pretty tight-lipped throughout this process, which echoes the coaching search as well. We saw this during the coaching search as well, where the Commanders, you know, were very tight-lipped and then rolled out Dan Quinn at the end of the search. On Monday, Jaden Daniels comes to Ashburn. He will come in for a visit, stay Monday night. He will leave Tuesday morning. On Tuesday afternoon, Drake May will land in Ashburn. He'll hang out Tuesday, leave Wednesday morning. Wednesday is the last day for top 30 visits. So both Jaden Daniels and Drake May on the final days come into Ashburn to make the final pitch. Right, so here's the question. Do they know who they're going to take? Do the Commanders know, here's our guy, we want whoever, fill in the blank, Jaden, Drake, trade back, J.J. McCarthy, whatever it is. We're talking about J.J. in a second. J.J.'s not going at two, by the way, so you can just put that out of your mind right now. Is this all a ploy, right? If you're the Commanders, you want them thinking you'll grab as many of these guys as possible, because if you have a team that loves Drake May or a team that loves Jaden Daniels, right? You want them thinking, we have to trade up with the Commanders. Otherwise, we're not going to get him. So it's going to be an exciting week, Monday and Tuesday, as those guys roll through for their visits, as we see who the Commanders are going to take with the number two overall pick, who their quarterback of the future is. Now, Adam Schefter, ESPN, he has weighed in on this occasionally. He is weighing in on this on his, he weighed in on this on his podcast. I believe this was 2 days ago to timestamp this, but this is Adam Schefter on the Adam Schefter podcast predicting the NFL draft.
Because on Monday, I was having a conversation with our friend Adam Levitin from Establish the Run, who does a great job. And he brought up the fact that on this podcast last week, we created some waves by saying that the signs pointed to Jaden Daniels going to Washington at number two. And Daniel, we're 2 weeks away. I still will stand behind that. The signs continue to point to Jaden Daniels going number two to Washington. So if we created some waves last week, here's some more waves. We're standing behind it right now. We'll see if anything changes in these last 2 weeks. And that would mean Caleb Williams goes one, Jaden Daniels goes two, and that would bring us to New England.
There you go. And whatever New England does is kind of not our problem at this juncture, right? Whatever the Patriots decide to do, that's up to them. They can have the leftovers at this point. Or if they love somebody, they can come trade up from three to two, which I think some people would welcome as well. Now, you know me. I'm a Jaden Daniels guy. I think he's the guy to pick, right? There's been this counter-narrative developing over the last few weeks, like, Jaden Daniels feels like the spectacular play guy, but actually, it's Drake May. Drake May is actually the guy who can make the big plays, and you're sleeping on him, and whatever that is, right, whatever that, because he was in the SEC, because he was at LSU, because he's got Lamar Jackson-style tendencies, you're thinking incorrectly about this. I don't think I'm thinking incorrectly about this. I'm looking at a guy who may fizzle out, right? You're taking a very real risk here, but you're also looking at a guy who can definitely lift a team, make a play, do the kinds of things. You need to be in that discussion every year of teams that no matter what the roster looks like, the quarterback can lift you to victory. Houston found that last year in C.J. Stroud, right? C.J. Stroud will keep the Houston Texans in games. No matter what the roster looks like, no matter what the day looks like, he's going to keep them in games. You need that guy here. And I'm not suggesting Drake May can't make big plays. Dude's got an arm. As you know, I like Drake May as well. I am the worst radio host in America on this topic. I think they're both good quarterbacks. I think they both have a chance of success in the NFL, right? The Drake May comparison that you're going to hear for the next couple of weeks is Justin Herbert. So you're going to hear a Lamar Jackson comparison and a Justin Herbert comparison. Those are both very good, very flattering comparisons, right? Those are guys you want to be compared to. But they haven't tipped their hand. I'd mentioned J.J. McCarthy. I don't take J.J. McCarthy seriously. Not even a little bit. Not at all. Look, if they trade back, obviously they need to have done their homework on J.J. McCarthy, on Penix, on Bo Nix. It feels increasingly unlikely to me that they trade back. Because the Caleb Williams thing is known, there's essentially no new information that will emerge between now and draft night with regard to the Commanders and trading the pick. Right, so you talk about the Patriots at 3, the Cardinals at 4. If things fall crazy on draft night, if the Patriots take Marvin Harrison Jr., now all of a sudden there's new information for trading with the Arizona Cardinals, right? For the New York Giants, there's new information in trying to get up and get a quarterback. There's not going to be any new information between here and there for the Washington Commanders, for who their pick is going to be. We know the Bears will take Caleb Williams at 1, and we know the Commanders will be on the clock next. So if they want to do a trade, I don't think that's going to be a last-second thing. I think that's going to be prearranged, and you'll hear about in the days leading up. Now, all this is to say, I don't know. I don't know who they're going to pick, and I don't know if they know who they're going to pick. You've certainly seen the leans to Jaden Daniels. I think this is a group that is keeping a very open mind through this whole process. And look, this is how they did the coaching search as well. They were adamant. They wanted to hear from everybody. And it caught them off guard a little bit, right? They lost their chance at Raheem Morris, maybe lost McDonald at the end because of that. But they were intent on, we're going to ride this process to the end. We want to hear from everybody. And I think they're going to approach these two visits, Jaden Daniels and Drake May, with an open mind. I think it's going to be a fun Monday and Tuesday up in Ashburn. All right, I want to take on some national NFL as well. Congratulate our guy Russell Wilson on being Essence's sexiest man of the moment. We'll talk a little Masters as well. They're going to tee off in 3 minutes out there at Augusta. Rain-delayed opening start. It's MP on the road, road show. Hopefully you guys are still enjoying it. Lane Casadane joins the program at 11. On the other side, national NFL news, lots to talk about, lots to get to. So glad you're with us on a Thursday morning. You're listening to MP on the mic. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. We'll circle back on the NFL draft as it relates to the Commanders later in the show, because it turns out they have more than just the number 2 overall pick. They got a couple night 2 picks as well. Starting to learn about some of the downwind prospects, so to speak, some of the guys who may go later in the draft. I got a hot take for you on a position they might take that I think people are sleeping on with those 36 and 40 selections. Obviously acknowledging one of the two has to be an offensive lineman or we burn Ashburn to the ground. Those are the rules. This is MP on the mic. I'm MP. This is the mic. This is the show. It's 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM worldwide, of course, on the free Odyssey app with you until noon. AWOD Radio takes over then, noon to 3. Grant and Danny drive you home before another night of Flying Squirrels baseball, looking to get their first home win of the season, hosting Akron tonight, VCU night at the Diamond. The Masters teeing off right now at Augusta National. A little rain delay today, 10:30 a.m. start. Tiger tees off at 3:54 p.m. today. Scottie Scheffler, the story of the Masters right now. He's one of the favorites to win. His wife is pregnant, is very close to being in labor. He has said he will leave the Masters if his wife goes into labor. Folks, we are on baby watch at Augusta. Panda watch. It's Ron Burgundy on the scene. Panda watch down at Augusta. There was what I remember. Anchorman's obviously one of the all-time great movies. There's like a full alternate storyline that they put on the DVD like it wasn't a panda. They were covering bank robberies instead. And like, I know everybody watches it and you're like, well, it won't be, you know, nothing's as good as the original because you have the, it's so bad. It's amazing to watch and see that like Anchorman was inches away from being a forgettably bad movie for life, all because they subbed out the pandas for a bank robbery. Thankfully, they made the right call. We've got ourselves a legendary movie and all that comes with it, all the quotable lines, champ kind in sports, of course, was part of that Anchorman crew. I stabbed a man with a trident. Yeah, about that, Brick. You might want to lay low for a while. All of which is to say, it's time to continue NFL Draft Talk. At 11 o'clock, Lane Casadante, the CBS 6, drops by the show. We'll dive back into the Commanders in the second half of the show. Jared Goff, this was interesting. I flagged this. Jared Goff said he thinks the Detroit media is too negative. He said, come on, I know we used to be bad, but we're not bad anymore. And you need to give us a little bit of credit. Now, this is, you know, obviously all the typical offseason posturing and all that. I flagged it, though, because that is what the Commanders have been dealing with and are dealing with. And I have fielded this complaint personally from two Washington Commanders head coaches, slash Redskins, obviously. Mike Shanahan and Ron Rivera both complained repeatedly and over, hey, it's too negative around here. I'm here now. We're going to win. Why can't you get on board with what I'm doing? And I think that's interesting, right, in the Jared Goff context. Now, I don't know what's going on in Detroit. I don't know how sustainable this is. Dan Campbell looks like a winner. I'd say from a national perspective, a lot of people are backing Dan Campbell. So I don't know that they have the problem in Detroit that Washington has where, you know, there's not proven success when you're making the ask. I think there is some proven success there. NFC title game appearance, certainly very much worthy of that in terms of getting that respect and winning on the field before you demand it. They're in a position now where they can demand that respect. And Jared Goff can demand that respect. Dude went to a Super Bowl with the Rams. Dude plays well for the Lions. Is Matt Stafford better? Yes, I'd rather have Matt Stafford. Is Jared Goff good? Absolutely. He's a guy you can roll with as an NFL quarterback. He's not top 16. He's in the 17 to 32 pile. But he's in the pile. He's in the mix. And he's saying that Detroit is just continues to be too negative because of old habits. Now, I've fielded this complaint. Now, when Mike Shanahan said it, when Ron Rivera said it, I said, look, I've been here longer than you, and I'll be here longer than you, right? After you guys are gone, we'll still be here, and we'll still be dealing with this ownership situation. It's not personal. It's not personal against the team or Mike Shanahan or Ron Rivera. You just knew during that era, nothing they did was ever going to be successful. Now, I skipped Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden never lodged that complaint. I think Jay Gruden understood what kind of building he was working in, right? And I have affinity for Jay Gruden. I mentioned that on the show plenty. He's the coach who never made that gripe because I think he understood, look, in this building, it's going to be very hard to win. And Mike Shanahan, right, is I'm the guy, Ron Rivera, I'm the guy. Everything goes through me. You're dealing off of my track record. Not Dan Snyder's track record, not Ashburn's track record. But that's not true because the owner was still Dan Snyder and because things were still messed up to a large degree. And it was not unreasonable to demand on the field proof before they got it. I don't think that's what's going on, of course, in Detroit because I do think Detroit's had some success. I think a little bit of it may just be Jared Goff stoking the fires, right? Hey, as a member of the media, I understand our role. Part of the deal, right, is, you know, the media, they're always against us. The players are always going to use you as the bad guy. I get it. I don't get too mad about that. That's part of the deal. That's part of the game. I think that's the gamesmanship that's going on in Detroit, much more so than what happened with the Commanders, which was Mike Shanahan, Ron Rivera, both got there and said, I'm the guy now. Why are they still being so negative? Well, we're still being so negative because Dan Snyder still owns the team. You're going to learn some things. Every time, hey, you're going to learn something. I'm not going to learn some things. You're going to learn some things about how good I am at coaching football. Well, we didn't, and we weren't, because the Dan Snyder stink permeated a whole lot of stuff up there in Ashburn. Down to Atlanta, another old friend, Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins was on a podcast recently with Shaq. So that's a heck of a sentence to say to start this segment. Kirk Cousins was on a podcast with Shaq. Kirk Cousins wore number 8 for most of his career. There's a guy in Atlanta who wears number 8, Kyle Pitts. He was a first-round draft pick a couple years ago. There's a new NFL rule that if you change your jersey number, you have to pay for them to destroy or recycle all the jerseys they've printed to sell at the team shops and everything. So here's Kirk Cousins on Shaq's podcast about changing his jersey number.
It's hilarious. Yeah, so he wanted to switch numbers anyways. So it was like a perfect fit. He's like, I want to switch numbers. You want number 8. This is perfect. I was like, great. And then the league spoke into it. They're like, well, Kyle Pitts has a lot of jerseys that are number 8 with Pitts on the back. You would have to buy every single one.
To you or to Kyle?
Both of us would have to just write the check.
How big?
It was several hundred thousand.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not writing a check.
So I was like, I'm good with 18. And Kyle's like, I'm good with 8. So we're going with 8 and 18.
Oh, yeah. We're not doing that. I love it. Shaq is a rich dude. And Kirk Cousins, he's a very famously rich dude. He makes a lot of money along the way. Like, but both still in that whole like, we're not getting a check for that. It doesn't matter how much money you make. You're not cutting the league a check for that kind of thing. What's funny about this is I was thinking about this in the context of Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels wore number 5 at LSU. There is a number 5 on the Washington Commanders. His name is Tress Way. He's the punter. Normally, this would be the world's smallest obstacle. However, if you go into a Commanders pro shop or store or at FedEx Field, you know this. They sell Tress Way jerseys. As they should. We all love Tress Way. He's great. I don't think it's a non-zero check there for Tress Way to give up his number to Jaden Daniels. And now you're talking about two people that don't have money, right? The punter doesn't have money. Jaden Daniels is new to the league. I'm curious, right? Like, I think normally Tress Way just gives up number 5 to Jaden Daniels. You're the star. You're the new quarterback. If the NFL says it's $100,000 to give up your number because we got to destroy the Tress Way jerseys, that's hilarious to me, but also they may not do it. Or maybe the team steps in, cuts the check as a marketing expense, right? Covers it for Jaden. I don't know if they can do that. I don't know what the rules are. There's all sorts of rules, of course, about salary caps and circumvention and all those things. All right, one more cut. Kirk Cousins here on the Shaq podcast, talking to Shaq directly about switching teams. Third team, of course, played for the Redskins and he played for the Vikings. Now he is in Atlanta on a deal down there. Here's Kirk Cousins on Shaq's podcast.
I want this to be my final stop. You know, I don't want to do the deal. No offense, but I don't want to go play for the Suns and the Celtics at the end. I want to finish with the Heat, if you will, and be done, you know? So
same thing I said.
Yeah. So that's really my plan, is that I wouldn't play for another team. I'd finish with the Falcons. My boys are 6-5. They won't remember that I played in Washington. They will barely remember that I played in Minnesota. They're gonna remember I played for the Falcons. And I want those to be good memories. So I feel like this is the stretch. I want to finish strong. People remember how you finish more than how you started. Mm. So the start was good, but I want to finish really strong here in Atlanta and have my boys say, yeah, he may have played for Washington or Minnesota, but we remember him as a Falcon. And I want fans to say the same thing.
I love the Shaq podcast. I want Shaq as my co-host. Just do it with a really deep voice. Like, yeah, I said the same thing. It adds nothing, but it adds everything. That's the perfect amount of background noise for the podcast. All right, Hazel, let's go a touch late into break. We're going to interrupt this segment for a little breaking news. You want to hit the breaking news sounder here real quick, and we'll give you a little breaking news here before we head into the break.
Breaking news on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, powered by Odyssey, is brought to you by BetQL.
A statement from O.J. Simpson's family. Yesterday, our father, O.J. Simpson, or Uncle James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asks you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace. Statement from the Simpson family. O.J. Simpson apparently has died, per a statement from O.J. Simpson's family. Of course, one of the great running backs in NFL history, and a TV analyst for NBC. None of that's the first line of the obituary. It's the trial. It's the white Ford Bronco. It's all of those things. He was acquitted for the murders of his former wife, Nicole Brown, and her friend, Ron Goldman. Ended up becoming, he wrote books about it, ended up in jail on other charges later. But of course, ties back to the sports world, was one of the great Buffalo Bills players of all time. And as we get ready for draft time here, O.J. Simpson was the number one pick in the 1969 NFL draft. So that's the news. O.J. Simpson died yesterday at age 76, former USC and Buffalo Bills running back. I'm sure plenty more to come on that. As more information comes out, we will, of course, share it with you. We'll step aside. We'll be back with a little more MP on the mic right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Dempy on the mic on a Thursday morning. We got the right crew here right now. Lane Casadane joins the program in 11 minutes. Of course, an upstate New Yorker. We'll ask him to react to today's breaking news. O.J. Simpson has died. Died yesterday at the end of a battle with cancer at the age of 76. Of course, one of the most famous players in Buffalo Bills history. It's a generations thing, right? Lane's going to have memories of O.J. Simpson that I don't have. And I have memories of O.J. Simpson that AWOD doesn't have. And AWOD's in studio here now. AWOD Radio, of course, 12 to 3 today to help us process, react to this. Obviously, 76 years old, was battling cancer, but still just a name that when you hear it, it's an immediate visceral reaction. I mean, one of the biggest names in sports history.
It definitely caught me off guard. I didn't even know that he was sick. I didn't know he was battling cancer. Was that public information?
I don't know either, because he had had the jail stint, and I think he was in poor health after the jail stint, but he had not a comeback, obviously. There's never a comeback from what he went through, but you know, he was in the public eye a little bit over the last few years, for sure. Yeah, I did not see this coming. This was not on my bingo card for today.
Yeah, I mean, we saw him like on TikTok and doing other, you know, bits and skits on videos and stuff, and it shocked me. It is crazy how much O.J. Simpson is involved in pop culture, right? I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
You don't remember the trial, right?
No, I don't remember the trial at all.
Right. So I was in elementary school, fourth grade-ish. We literally stopped class. The teacher turned on the AM radio, News Talk 1240 KNSS, Wichita, Kansas. Shout out KNSS, Wichita's news leader. And we listened to the verdict being read and the trial. I mean, that is how captivated America was. And I don't know, there was the Johnny Depp, what was her name, Amber Heard thing. Like, people, yeah, there were people who got into that. It feels like a relic from another time when literally just the whole country was all in on one thing. We don't have that a lot anymore. Like, literally the whole country followed this trial every single day. And was hanging on every word and hanging on the verdict. And, you know, there were big reactions to the verdict. But yeah, we listened to it on AM radio in an elementary school classroom. And I promise you, I'm not the only person that age with that memory. The whole country was captivated.
So do you remember where you were during the car chase then?
Absolutely. I was watching the NBA Finals with the Houston Rockets and the New York Knicks. There's a 30 for 30 from ESPN.
Yeah, oh, it's fantastic.
It's so good. Can't recommend it enough. I hope they play it again tonight. You know, obviously, if you've got ESPN Plus, you've got access to all of that. June 17th, 1994. So we're talking anniversary seasons here on June 17, 1994, coming up. Game 5 of the NBA Finals. And this was not a run-of-the-mill NBA Finals either. This was not Nuggets versus Heat, with apologies to both of those teams. This was the Rockets with Hakeem Olajuwon. This was the Knicks, the friggin' New York Knicks, who play at Madison Square Garden. This was a big, big, big NBA Finals. Everything going on that day. What was it? The World Cup was in America that year. They were playing World Cup games in America that day. The Rangers had just won the Stanley Cup. They had their parade. I think probably U.S. Open golf. There was another one, as I'm trying to recall this. But then O.J., he's being driven around in this white Ford Bronco, and all of a sudden it's a high-speed chase, and it's playing out on national TV. And I don't know this for a fact, but I'm guessing that the Ford Bronco, that's what pushed it into obsolescence, right? You can't own a Bronco after the Bronco becomes the most famous car in America.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. Thinking back on that, the 30 for 30 is great. The Cuba Gooding Jr. FX version isn't terrible. I actually kind of really enjoyed that. I'm reading about the event right now, and it's blowing my mind. So 95 million viewers watched the O.J. Chase. pizza chain Domino's reported record sales that evening.
People
were just ordering pizza and watching the chase.
You couldn't leave the house. You could not leave the house because if you left the house for a second, you might miss something. Right? Like, nobody knew how this was going to end. Didn't matter if you were hungry. Didn't matter if you had, like, all appointments were canceled in America that night. Like, everybody was glued to the television. I know at the time there was a little controversy over, I think it was NBC, cutting out of the basketball game to show it, which was, of course, the right decision. I mean, this became, and then the characters of the trial all became nationally famous people. Marcia Clark was the attorney for the state. And then, of course, Johnny Cochran, who became very famous and you know, is spoofed in Seinfeld and in many other ways. I mean, the Kardashians, that launched.
Yeah, I mean, the Kardashians connection to that event in 1994 is incredible.
Absolutely. So we're reacting to the breaking news this morning. O.J. Simpson died yesterday at the age of 78 of cancer. And then, right, so you only know O.J. essentially as post all of this, which it's all wild. Everything about the trial is wild. The glove, all of it. But then before that, he was legit a super, super famous football player at USC and with the Bills and was an original part of the NFL on NBC announcing crew. So we'll continue to react to this throughout the day.
You know what people sleep on also, Michael?
Yeah.
The Naked Gun.
Oh, absolutely.
OJ was an actor, too.
Absolutely. He was famous, and then became infamous, and just wild. All right, we're going to get Lane Castellani on the other side of the break. AWOD, thanks for jumping on for a second on the breaking news. Of course, AWOD Radio, noon to 3 today, part of our live and local block. We're back with Lane Castellani at CBS 6. O.J. Simpson has died at the age of 76. Back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. I appreciate you guys hanging with us on a Thursday morning. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Excited to have on Lane Casadante today, as we do on Thursdays, but certainly a wrench in the plans here of what we were going to talk about because of the breaking news here about half an hour ago that O.J. Simpson died of cancer at age 76 yesterday. So we bring Lane on. Lane is the sports director at CBS 6 in Richmond. Always love having him on Thursday. Lane, I was just talking about this with AWOD. AWOD doesn't know OJ as a football player or from the trial, right? He's too young for either of those. I know OJ just as the trial guy, the Ford Bronco, all that. You're an upstate New York guy. You know a heck of a football player, too.
Yeah, I'm just old enough to remember his last year or two with the Buffalo Bills. Obviously, the first NFL running back to eclipse 2,000 yards in a season, and he did it in a 14-game season back then. very few people will remember the former San Francisco 49er great. He played at least a year with the 49ers.
Yes,
a lot of people don't remember that he ended his career there as well. But more importantly than that, I mean, O.J. is one of those single-name guys. Like, when you say O.J., you know exactly who you're talking about. It's like Cher and Madonna and people like that. And a lot of people forget that he was one of the first African-American athletes to cross over into mainstream commercials and endorsements. A lot of the Hertz ads with him running through the airport, those were just as iconic for a whole other section of America than his football playing days were. And, you know, he's one of the reason so many kids wore 32 as a running back was because of O.J. Simpson, Heisman Trophy winner at USC. He crossed over so many lines, and then, like you said, he was famous and then became infamous with what happened with his trial and everything after that. It's an amazing life-spanning arc of from where he started to where he ended up. And it's one of those things where you look at your phone and you see the update and you're like, wow, didn't see that one coming today.
That was not on the bingo card for today, for sure. O.J. Simpson, you know, he had made the news post-trial. He ended up in jail for the Vegas, the hotel robbery, and then comes back and had made some appearances. How did the Bills lean into that legacy, right? Because he is one of the great players in Buffalo Bills history.
Yeah, he is, and he actually, and those were some really lean Buffalo Bills teams, too. I mean, I only know his quarterback back in the day was a guy named Joe Ferguson. You'd be hard to pull that name out of, you know, at any trivia contest or some of the other guys that played on those teams. OJ was, you know, the Buffalo offense for a couple of years up there. And, you know, obviously the Bills have to remember what his legacy was with them. And in a careful way, this is why people get millions of dollars every year to be marketing and public relations consultants, because you kind of have to be careful about how you remember his legacy, because legacies aren't selective. You can't just remember the football player. You have to remember the entire person, good, bad, and indifferent.
No question. And, yeah, a lot of people navigating that tightrope. As you mentioned, I mean, face a Hertz car rental, was in the Naked Gun, was everywhere. And were you in TV the night of the chase? What are your memories of the Ford Bronco chase?
I remember, like everybody else, obviously, watching the NBA Finals. I want to say it was my first summer here in Richmond. It was 30 years ago. I believe it was June of 94. And you really watched it not believing what you were seeing. And for them to break into the NBA Finals was, you know, it had to be something huge. And the fact that it was OJ, and then all of a sudden you're getting the information bit by bit, because nobody had any idea what happened. You got to remember, this is way before social media. This is before the advent of email, really. Email was just starting in 1994. Cell phones were only for people that, you know, had a lot of money. I remember, you know, we had one cell phone in our news vehicles back in the day. So the information that we got at that time was piecemealed out. It's like, why is he running from police? Why are they chasing him? His wife is dead, and they think he did it. You know, you had to play catch up with the whole thing while you were watching it unfold on TV. And it was, I mean, surreal gets thrown around a lot as an adjective, but it really was. You couldn't believe what you were watching.
Oh, no question. He had a phone in the car, very famously. They were trying to talk him into surrendering. He tried to call Bob Costas while Bob Costas was hosting NBC coverage of the basketball from Madison Square Garden. He picked up the phone and tried to get a hold of Bob Costas. That's Bob Costas' story that he's told. Well, I'm sure we'll pull the audio. We'll have more on that in the coming days. But Lane Casadante joining us from CBS 6, sports director. Bouncing around from one breaking news story to another, by the way, Scott Drew just announced he's going to stay at Baylor. He's not going to take the Kentucky job after being wooed to Baylor, or after being wooed to Kentucky. That's going to be an ego blow for the Kentucky people. As you know, they think very highly of their program. They will not take well to being shunned for Baylor.
Well, and I also, you know, as soon as I saw that they had kind of pushed Calipari out the door, so be careful what you wish for, Kentucky
fans.
Because, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, John Calipari is going to be a Hall of Fame coach. He knows his way around X's and O's. And I get that he hasn't performed well in the tournament lately, but, you know, at the same time, when you take that job as one of the five preeminent jobs in college basketball, regardless of what they've done over the last 3 or 4 years, Kentucky is one of those jobs. You know, Duke, Carolina, UCLA, Kentucky, and maybe Indiana because of the legacy of Bob Knight. But, you know, you got to find someone who is willing to take that on, you know, beyond the X's and O's, beyond anything that you could do on the court, recruiting, NIL, transfer portal, and all. You have to be able to be in the middle of that pressure cooker spotlight. How many years did Calipari go to the NCAA tournament? I know he won his national championship 12 years ago, and that's ancient history to Kentucky fans, but, you know, it's kind of like managing the Yankees. It's kind of like, you know, playing for the Lakers. What is expected of normal programs and normal coaches is not the same when you go to places like that, and you have to be ready for it. And I don't fault Scott Drew in the slightest for wanting to stick around where he is at Baylor. He's winning. He's playing. You know, I'm pretty sure he's been to a Final Four. He can play and win right where he is, and if it's enough for him, then God bless. Stay there and build on what you've already done.
And certainly, you know, the SEC has all the money. We've established that over the years. But the Big 12 plays basketball at least as good as the SEC. So if they're showing you the love, if they're showing you the finances, I said this, you know, with as the coaches move, right? The SEC's got the money, but I don't know that they're ever going to be the basketball league. And certainly you have the Big East, you have the Big 12, you have so many different leagues. As we talk with Lane Casadante of CBS 6 Sports here, thank him for rolling with us on a breaking news Thursday here. We got the Masters underway. We got the news that O.J. Simpson died last night. Now we got the news that Scott Drew is staying at Baylor. Kentucky's continuing their search for a coach. I do want to bring it back home, though, before we let Lane go, though, because I know you were at opening night. I was at opening night for the Squirrels. Excited to have another season of baseball going. I know you are as well.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Squirrels bats haven't come to life just yet. They've had one really good offensive outing in their first four or five games so far. That was Saturday night up in Somerset when they pounded out 13 runs. But, I mean, that's the one of the great things about baseball is that, A, it's every night, and you get a chance to do it all over again the very next night, unless it rains. And, you know, it's such a long season that the first, you know, week or so is in no way indicative of what you're going to get for the rest of the season. It's not like the NFL where if you start 4-0, you're pretty, you know, you're pretty much guaranteed you're going to have a really good year. You're playing well. Baseball can turn around in an instant. I know from studying and being out at spring training that the Giants have three or four really good prospects that did not start here but could wind up here before the summer is over, depending on how they do it at the high A level. So this is going to be a long season divided into two parts. And honestly, are you going to bet against Dennis Pelfrey? I mean, the man has been to the playoffs every season that he's been an affiliate manager. So whatever slow start they have, I'm going to have a little more faith that they'll be able to turn it around.
Oh, no doubt. Just 1-4, plenty of time. You mentioned the rain. We were so blessed on opening day. Such a great night out there. May finally catch up to him tonight, which is the dangers of living in Richmond in April, of course. There's always a few rainouts along the way. Gave a couple other baseball updates early in the show, too. Vinny Pasquantino, James River kid, went yard for the Royals last night, his first of the year. But I'm fired up about seeing Jackson Holliday with the Orioles. I think that's going to be a ton of fun.
Well, and the Orioles have, you know, now we're going to see, we always talk about how the draft works in the NFL and about because teams can cycle around if they draft properly. And now we're going to see if it really works in baseball. And, you know, baseball drafts used to be, they go 50 rounds now, but they used to go until they ran out of players. There was no cap to it. So, you know, making a dent in baseball because there's so many levels for a player to go through and they can be drafted, right out of high school, it's a different breed. But now we're going to see, you know, how well the Orioles did this. And so far, you know, they've got the last three number one overall picks all on the team at the same time right now with Gunnar Henderson, Rutschman, and now Jackson Holliday. Well, you know what? Let's see how well you did, and let's see how well these guys can perform.
Not too shabby of a lineup out there in Baltimore, and they're raking for the Norfolk Tides as well. All right, Lane, thank you for spending some time with us today. Anything we should be on the lookout for this weekend at CBS 6?
Well, speaking of baseball, tonight we're going to revisit the conversation we had with Sean Casey when he was in town for the Squirrels Hot Stove League last fall. And Sean, if you've ever met him or if you've ever talked to him for 5 minutes, you've made a friend for life, and he is exactly the person in person that you see on TV. He has a million stories. He's one of the most gregarious athletes that I've ever come across. One of my favorites. He's just a whole lot of fun to sit down and not just talk baseball with, but he can swap some of the best stories that you've ever heard.
Baseball guys have the best stories, and Lane always brings them out. We'll be watching that tonight. All right, Lane Casadante, CBS 6 Sports Director. Appreciate you spending a few minutes with us today.
Mike, thanks for having me. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right, off he goes. Should be a great sporting weekend. They're playing at Augusta now. The Masters is underway after a little bit of a rain delay. They started about 45 minutes ago. We'll take a break. I promised we'd get back to the NFL draft. I will get back to the NFL draft, what the Commanders should do. We'll also cycle around the world of basketball with the news that Kentucky's still looking for a coach, turned down by Bryce Drew. A late push yesterday by Chip Gaines of Chip and Joanna fame to keep Bryce Drew at Baylor in Waco there. So there you go. Tough to Kentucky does not have an HGTV star. Maybe it's something they need to be working on. We're back with more after this. It's a Thursday. It's MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
Home stretch of the Thursday program, MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, of course, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Appreciate you making us a part of your day, especially today on a very busy day. And the world of sports, Masters underway, will, of course, keep you apprised of everything going on out at Augusta. There's college basketball is just always moving. Tyler Nickel, Virginia Tech, is leaving for Vanderbilt. Made that official yesterday. Kentucky still looking for a coach after Scott Drew turns them down. And in baseball, the Orioles calling up Jackson Holliday. Vinny Pasquantino, James River, smashes a home run, five ribbies in a Kansas City Royals win yesterday. And Russell Wilson, speaking of locals, Russell Wilson was named by Essence Magazine as, and I quote, the sexiest man of the moment. There he is on Essence Magazine wearing some fur. I'm not sure how we got here, but this is where we are. Russell Wilson is your sexiest man of the moment. That's a bracket we haven't run yet at the Fan. That's a bracket we're probably not going to run. Kudos to Essence Magazine for taking on the questions we all have. Of course, the day's big story, and we'll circle back around on it. O.J. Simpson has died at the age of 76. O.J. Simpson has died of cancer, of course, one of the great running backs in NFL history, also involved in, I can name about four murder trials in American history that are famous, and that's one of them. I don't know if it's the most famous trial in American history. I guess the Lindbergh baby is going to have something to say about that, and the Scopes monkey trial, and it's one of the most famous trials in the history of the American judicial system. Not hyperbole to suggest that. O.J. Simpson, of course, cultural icon as well, has died at the age of 76. We'll have complete reaction to that all day long here on 910 The Fan. Hall of Fame President Jim Porter. So this is the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. And there had been requests, now obviously not recently, but through the years, to take O.J. Simpson out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, to kick him out after the trials and his jail time afterward on unrelated charges of the Las Vegas casino robbery. A statement here from Hall of Fame President Jim Porter. O.J. Simpson was the first player to reach a rushing mark many thought could not be attained in a 14-game season when he topped 2,000 yards. His on-field contributions will be preserved in the Hall's archives in Canton, Ohio. So that's a pretty strong statement there. He's not going anywhere. Now, the Baseball Hall of Fame, which does not acknowledge Pete Rose, of course, character is one of the stated values in the Baseball Hall of Fame, which I've always found to be deliciously rich because Ty Cobb is in the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Sure, it's a thing they say. It's not a thing they've ever followed up on, except for Pete Rose. But the Pro Football Hall of Fame is actually pretty explicit. The character doesn't matter. That only on-field contributions matter. They're in the Stick to Sports Hall of Fame. They stick to sports at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They only consider on-field, and certainly that statement pretty strong. O.J. Simpson not going anywhere in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Our attention today has been on the NFL draft, which is 2 weeks away, exactly 2 weeks away. You'll hear it right here on 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Two Thursdays from now, big days coming next Monday And Tuesday, Monday, Jaden Daniels, LSU quarterback, visits Washington. Tuesday, Drake May, North Carolina quarterback, visits Washington. They'll spend some time in Ashburn. They'll interview with everybody. Now, they've had tons of interactions along the way. This is not the first time that, you know, the Commanders have chatted with these guys. Won't be their first time meeting Adam Peters. Won't be their first time with Cliff Kingsbury drawing up plays on a whiteboard. They've had plenty of time doing that. But this is the final arguments, the final opportunity for them to make the case as the number two pick, and the league's hanging on this to a large extent, right? There are a couple things you hear that you put in the back of your mind and you largely dismiss. One is they're thinking about J.J. McCarthy at two. I continue to think J.J. McCarthy goes past six, goes past the Giants. I think he's a first-round guy. Everybody gets that. He's such an unknown. It's tough as a general manager to hit your wagon to an unknown when you don't know how it's going to turn out. That's something you have to keep in mind, right? It's not just who's the best prospect, but who can we plant our flag on? But for Washington, it's an important decision because whoever they don't take now goes to the Patriots at three. They might trade the pick, right? That is the Patriot way. Trade back, load up in future drafts. They can't trade the pick until they know who they're shopping. Are they shopping Jaden Daniels or are they shopping Drake May? I continue to advocate that I think Jaden Daniels is the right call, but I like them both. I'm a very bad radio host. I think they're both good quarterbacks. And I think if you're calling this what it is, the odds are neither of them succeed in the NFL, right? The odds are not 50% that a young quarterback has success in the NFL. Same with Caleb Williams. There are no can't-miss guys. Even the guys, right, who was the last can't-miss guy? I'd argue it was Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck had a great career, brilliant quarterback, but Andrew Luck has no rings, and that's a measure of success. Is Andrew Luck going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? I don't know that he is, right? So even a can't-miss guy, you know, you go back past that, I don't think Eli was a can't-miss by any stretch. Peyton, obviously, was a can't-miss coming out of school. He delivered, but there aren't a lot of them that are true in that can't-miss category. I'm also intrigued by what will happen at the start of day two of the NFL draft or the end of night one. Don't stop watching after pick number two because the Commanders have 36 and 40. So those are two of the first picks of the second round of the draft. Now, if they trade out of number two, they're absolutely hanging around the first round to get a quarterback with a fifth-year option. That feels like a lock. Assuming they stay at two, I think they've got interesting decisions at 36 and 40. I would not be... Now, I think one of those picks is your left tackle, right? Has to be. I would love for them to package 36 and 40, move back into the first round, get an elite guy. And I've been reading Dane Brugger's got his draft analysis out. You know, we'll go deep on these guys next week. There seem to be two consensus really good left tackles, Joe Alt and Olu Fashanu of Penn State, who is a DC kid, by the way, if you're looking for hometown connections. I don't know that either of them make it past 10, right? You got two really good left tackles. I don't know that either of them make it past 10. So if you're talking about the Commanders trading back or trading back in down from two, you can't go too far down. And, you know, going back up, that's going to be a tricky thing as well for them because how high can you get with 2 second round picks? I don't know that you can get back into position to get one of those guys. It doesn't break fantastically. What I'm watching is the tight end market. Eugene Shen is the new director of analytics or whatever his official title is for the Commanders. He's very much on record as being a guy who loves tight ends. He loves a good tight end, and there's value there. They're underpaid relative to their production. You can help your quarterback with one, right? So much of this is going to be how do you set your new quarterback up to succeed? A great tight end is a really good way to do that. They need a big target for the red zone, right? That's not Terry McLaurin. That's not Jahan Dotson. Would not surprise me at all to see a tight end go off the board much earlier than expected to the Washington Commanders. That's what I've got my eye on as we head towards the draft. I was on with Linnell Willingham last night up in D.C., my guy Nell. He said, would it bother you at 36 if instead of taking a tackle, they took a guard instead? I was like, well, you know, yeah, guards bother me more than tackles, but I lived in a world where they took a guard at number 5 overall. I've seen it all when it comes to taking guards. I've seen a guard go at number 5. It's hard to pull a full stunner on a guy who's been following Washington football as long as this guy has. But I respect the variety of options that are out there. I know Awad's talked about taking a corner, and I think that would be a great play because I think they need one. You know, safety. They've got needs. Obviously, Bobby Wagner's here, but that's not a long-term solution at linebacker. This is a roster. I approve of their free agency moves this year. But at the same time, I definitely do not think this is a roster that's positioned to be the building blocks of the future. I think those people are coming through the draft. They're coming as soon as Adam Peters identifies them and takes them. We'll have plenty more draft talk in the lead up. We're 2 weeks away from draft night. You'll hear it right here on The Fan. Of course, tons of college basketball news as well. Should be a big weekend in the portal. Hopefully VCU can land a couple of guys. We'll have something to talk about when we get back here on Monday, or maybe tomorrow if they want to hustle it up. Give us a good Friday program. Scott Drew staying in Waco. That's the news in the college basketball world this morning, turning down Kentucky's offers. And look, if what Calipari did isn't good enough for that fan base, you wonder how long you are for this for that job. If you take that Kentucky gig, you will not have a long runway there. I think that's something everybody understands. So if you missed anything from today's show, grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. We got one more segment left. It's Crosstalk with Awad. It's one of my favorites. We'll talk a little more O.J. Simpson after the news today that he has died at the age of 76. I will share a fun beer fact from Richmond. All of that when we come back. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.